I pulled with all my might and lost my footing. Both the sergeant and me stumbled against the table. The ink bottle overturned and poured across the table and papers. The sick man jumped up with a mighty curse and several ugly statements about my character. "They want to kill the general!" I finally pulled free of the sergeant's grasp. "I have proof!" The man was concerned only with rescuing his papers from the spreading pool of ink. "Sergeant, remove this birdwit!"
"Do not touch her,"
the commanding voice came from the center of the room. The sergeant stood at attention. The man with inky hands did too, swallowing hard and wincing at the pain in his throat. A figure rose from the high back chair that stood in front of the hearth. He wore the dark blue coat of an officer, with buttons and buckles that reflected the firelight. His features stayed in the shadows, but I could see a book in his left hand, his finger marking the page.
"Leave us," he ordered.
"Yes, sir," the sergeant said.
"As you wish, Colonel Reagan, sir,"
said the man whose clothes were stained blue by the papers he clutched to his chest. When the door was pulled behind them, Colonel Reagan returned to his seat.
"Come here," he told me. "Show me what you've brought and tell your story, but keep your voice low. The walls have ears."
"Yes, sir." My voice strangulated a bit. The colonel tugged at his coat as he sat down. He was not wearing a wig as did most gentlemen. His own hair was dark, pulled back into a neat queue and tied with a string. His eyes were sunk deep into his face with dark hollows underneath them.
"Well?"
He set the book on his lap, fingers still marking the place he left off reading. I weighed my words before I spoke. "I am in a position to trade with you, sir."
"What kind of trade?"
"My sister and I were wrongfully taken from Rhode Island. I mean to get us back there."
"You want passage home in exchange for what you know?"
"Yes," I said, lifting my chin a little. "Sir." He nodded gravely.
"If your information is as useful as you think it is, I shall personally look into your case, miss."
That was far from a berth on a swift ship, but I had little choice. They planned to kill General Washington. He closed the book, set it on the floor, and leaned forward, his elbows on his knees.
"Tell me all."
I handed him the list and quickly told him everything I knew. He interrupted a few times with questions and had me repeat the mayor's words. Then he bade me to wait by the dying fire as he left the room, and soon reappeared with four other men, all clearly dragged from their beds. I was fighting to stay awake myself, but I repeated the story to the larger assembly. A quarrel began instantly, the arguments flying across the room.
"How do we know Lockton didn't send her with a false story?"
"That's just a list of names. Anyone could have written it.
I know the mayor's handwriting, and those are dyed-in-the-wool loyalists, everyone. I don't believe they've turned a lifeguard. Those men are the finest we have. This is nonsense, and I'm going back to bed."
"Her story confirms what we've heard from other sources."
This from Colonel Reagan. He explained that several spies had brought him the same rumor earlier in the day. He walked to the hearth and looked at the glowing embers.
"All that remains is to decide what to do with the information. Who has the list?"
A man wearing his uniform coat over his nightshirt waved the paper in the air.
"Return it to the girl."
"Why on earth would we do that?" he asked.
"I want her to plant it back where she found it. 'Tis best they believe their plan is still secret. That improves our chances of rounding them up."
The man handed the list back to me. I thought for a moment about tossing it on the fire, for it suddenly seemed frightful dangerous, but I folded it back in my pocket.
"Do you think you'll be able to return it to his desk?" Colonel Reagan asked me.
"Yes, sir," I said.
"If you hear anything else, anything at all, you come and find me. Do you understand?"
"Yes, sir." I hesitated. "And you'll soon help my sister and me get home?" His eyes darted to his companions, then back to me.
"I shall do what is in my power," he promised.
"Thank you, sir."
"She'll need the code to get back into camp,"
said the man in the nightshirt. The new regulations go out at dawn.
Agreed.
Colonel Reagan bent down so that his face was level with mine. Do not tell this to another soul on pain of death. Do you swear?
I swear, I whispered.
The code is Ad Astra. Repeat it, please.
Ad Astra? I had never heard such a word. But then again, I'd never before spoken a code.
Two words, Ad Astra. It's Latin. It means to the stars. Will you be able to remember it?
I never forget a thing, sir.